Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Wizards Wednesday on Grant and Danny. Congrats to caller 10. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Wizards Friday, February 7th. They take on one of the best teams in the sport, the Cleveland Cavaliers. First Wizards Friday night concert series as well. You're going to stay for the free postgame concert from Backyard Band and Junkyard Band for Go-Go Night. It's going to be fun. Tickets, more event information, all available. TheFanDC.com/contest. We welcome you back in on G&D. It is time for a Beltway Blitz. We start you off on the gridiron with our guy, Nate Davis of USA Today. Nate, it was good seeing you as you walked in to the stadium on Sunday. I don't know that I saw you after that, though, but I take it you did stay for the game.
I did, Grant. I was about to catch you, but you were talking to Ross Tucker about something deep in discussion there. So, you know, just after that, you were out there crowd surfing with Eagles fans. So, sorry.
You know me too well. First of all, I guess before we move on, how good are the Eagles? I mean, they just seem like they're built at every position about as well as anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a testament to roster building there. I mean, they don't really seem to have an apparent weakness. And then certainly, I mean, to me, the biggest thing going into that game was going to be the health and effectiveness of Jalen Hurts. And we saw that he was plenty fine and able to attack the Commanders where it hurt. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. But they know how to build a team there. And then when you're adding guys like Saquon Barkley as a cherry on top and you're doing one-year contracts or guys like Zach Bond, who, you know, was a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year, I mean, tough combination to beat.
Nate, does it feel like they're going to beat the Chiefs this time and then either three-peat?
It feels to me like they are. I mean, it was close last time, but you know, again, this team is built on in the trenches. You know, big boy football, and you know, you see what happens when you add a guy like Saquon Barkley to that mix. I mean, obviously the Chiefs are no pushovers, but I don't know. I feel like the Eagles are going to win this game, and part of me wonders, you know, if they're going to win it decisively.
decisively. Paint that picture.
Well, we've seen the Eagles continually get out to these big leads. We've seen Saquon, go on these big runs. The Chiefs have been giving up rushing yards to the playoffs, to teams that don't have that caliber of a back there. And then if it becomes apparent that you got to sell out to stop him, having Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert and all these guys one-on-one, plus the Jalen Hurts threat. I mean, we saw what he did to them last time. I mean, not quite the same teams, of course, but, I mean, he's going to have 2 weeks of rest. I just kind of wonder, and then given the fact that, Eagles playing defense as good as anybody right now, I just kind of wonder where are the Chiefs going to exploit them. We'll see.
What do you make of Mike McCarthy taking his name out of the running for jobs he wasn't really in the running for?
Well, I think there is some notion that I decided I don't want to be a part of this Saints job. It's not maybe not all that an attractive job, and I'll just maybe they didn't want me, but maybe I'll just let it be known that I didn't really want to be there that much either, and that I think I'm gonna have better opportunities a year from now, given a year off, and as other jobs come open, maybe people will appreciate me a little more, but. Rather than have to take the lone remaining job and look like, I wasn't wanted there, I'll just, spin my own narrative for that.
Nate, do you think the Bengals get a deal done with Ja'Marr Chase and then T. Higgins walks, or what happens with those two wide receivers?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to watch. T. Higgins has changed agents. I think he's got Ja'Marr Chase's agent now. I mean, I know that they will want to remain together. I know Joe Burrow wants them to both stay there together. I think he's indicated that he's willing to adjust his contract to have them together. The Bengals are a team that does things, a little differently. I mean, they tend to want people to honor the end of a contract, and they don't necessarily manipulate their cap the way other teams do. But I think they've seen the value of what having that combination together can do. They've also got to figure out what to do with Trey Hendrickson, who I think is going into his walk year and had asked a year ago to be traded but before rescinding that. But they've got some things to figure out there for a team that does business a little differently than most NFL teams. But I do think that maybe there's more of a chance that they're able to keep that part of the band together, just given that, the equation looks a little bit different than it was, and obviously, at the end of the year, they showed the type of team they can be when they're firing on all cylinders.
Years from now, how will we remember this era with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, just crashing against the wall that is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs going to the AFC title game every year?
I think years from now, Danny, it'll look more like a real rivalry. For so many years, the Celtics and Lakers were kind of more one-sided, and the Patriots and Peyton Manning were kind of more one-sided, but ultimately it evened out. This was supposed to be kind of a reset year for the Bills, and I know it doesn't make their fans feel much better, that it feels like they still can't get over the hump, but, I don't know how many people actually thought the Bills were going to be, in the championship game this year, so I'm curious to see what they're able to do in the offseason as they try to kind of rebuild back to a level that they can compete for that Super Bowl, but I think eventually you're going to see Josh Allen get this team one or two times in the playoffs at least.
Nate, we appreciate you, good sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Coles.
Be good. Let's keep the blitz moving. I don't think so. Big voice guy, Sammy. Do you want to talk about the Commanders? Or you want to talk about the Capitals?
I'll go Caps.
All right.
I think I'm better.
There it is. Thank you, big voice guy. There it is. The Capitals are who we want to talk about. Sammy, how about the Caps? Last night, 3 goals, 2-goal win, another big performance from Logan Thompson. We'll start right there. He gets the extension, and he continues right along in his dominant ways.
Yeah, no, well-deserved. I mean, you can see it in the way that he plays. He's just a consistent goaltender. You know what you're going to get from him every night. Incredibly athletic, very, very good at what he does. Last night, makes some huge saves, couple breakaway stops. Shuts the door, and, he's right there at the top of the league. And, when you sign an extension like that, especially, at the salary you got him at, it's a steal. So great signing, and, last night was just proof that he earned it.
So over the last, I think it's 10 games or so, coming into last night, I think they were averaging 2.56 goals per game. That was my back-of-the-napkin math, which would put them at the back of the league. And I think they were 8-2. over those last 10 just kind of tells you that no matter how you want to get beat, they can do that. Is that something that might end up kind of biting them in the tuchus, though, down the stretch here, Sammy, where they may not be scoring like they were early on in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, right? I mean, it's great. You know, good teams find ways to win, you know, in any way possible, and that's what they've been doing. But then again, I mean, the way that they were scoring at the beginning of the season, obviously it's just not replicating the same way right now. You see that, you know, Protus's line is rolling and you got Dubois doing well, but the rest of the offense is kind of a little bit of a question mark. So, you know, obviously come playoff time, it's something you want to solve. I mean, especially if you want to make a deep run, because you can find ways to win, but, you know, playoffs are a whole different beast. So something they want to figure out. They're definitely working to fix it. But, yeah, it's not ideal, but the Caps are a good enough team that they're still able to win. So
the Capitals have three players with 20-plus goals. Ovechkin with 22 and Wilson with 20, not necessarily surprises, two of their higher-paid guys. Alexei Protas scored his 21st last night on a breakaway with a strong finish. He's got 42 points in 50 games. What do you make of his breakthrough this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, Pro is a testament to, you know, if you put in the hard work, it's going to pay off. I mean, you can see it in the way that he plays the game. He's a force. I mean, he's, you know, 6'6", and that's huge. But, you know, his skating has just gotten so much better. His playmaking, his vision. He's such a smart player. You know, he has such a good hockey IQ and the way that he plays the game and sees the game. He can play with just about anyone. He's versatile, very coachable. You know, and he put in the work, and it's showing on the score sheet this season. And it's just, it's fun to watch. His teammates absolutely love him. And it's been a hell of a season for Pro. So definitely a good thing for them going forward.
Sammy, thank you as always. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
You got it. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. My God, he's from the internet, he's from BetQL, he's from my dreams when my head hits the pillow and I see him on the back of my eyelids. Our pal Nick Ashew joins us to talk about the Local 53. Nick, have you kind of gotten over it yet? I'm starting to turn the corner in terms of losing to that puke green team.
I needed a few days, but it's starting to wear off a little bit in terms of how they lost, and it's become more about what the whole season was. Like, we all knew that was going to be the case, right? Like, at this point, once they beat Detroit, you're like, oh, nobody expected them to get this far. I thought they'd lose to Detroit. So I think what stung the most, we talked about this actually, I think even before, you know, before the game when you came on my show on Sunday on BetQL, and it's like, it's not expected for them necessarily to win that game against the Eagles. A loss to them would suck more because it is the Eagles. But I think the worst part about it was how they lost. And that's what I really wanted to just kind of had to get over a little bit, was like, okay, they looked like they didn't belong there at all after everything they did. So that kind of leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. But once it's all done, right, we don't really remember the failures for the greats. We remember the successes. And like, nobody ever talks about Michael Jordan's bad playoff games. He had them. I know it seems crazy, but he actually did. People only remember the championships, the success. So that's really what it's going to be with this season with this team.
Nick, Jaden Daniels, how does he get better in year two?
You know, I think it's funny because, like, we look at him and go, God, he's just so far above what everybody expected already. But, you know, I think one thing that will always be something to keep an eye on, though he was pretty good at it this year, is continuing to get better and just protecting himself when he's running the football. Again, it wasn't a nightmare like we thought it might be early on in the season, but I think it's continuing to get better at identifying those types of situations. And you know what, honestly, I'd say, I guess keep doing that VR thing, because if that seems to be working for him just fine, but becoming it, you know, it just working on really all of the little fundamentals. But I feel like already at this point, when we talk about, like, what's he going to improve, it's more just a lot about gaining that experience, and we're nitpicking on the little things, maybe being a little bit more of an accurate passer, but he's already very accurate, got one of the most accurate deep balls in the NFL. So I think it's really just going to become consistency and fine-tuning all the things he's already good at and just getting that experience out there.
Nicholas, if you were to go into that defensive room, the offense, I think maybe a little bit easier, but if you're going to that defensive room and you're going to go, okay, you know what? We got to do better here, here, and here. Where are the spots? Where are those heres?
Well, you know, we thought that they were going to help themselves out with Marshawn Lattimore, but he clearly wasn't healthy and was just a liability for really the entire postseason that he was out there. I think they still are going to certainly need some help in the secondary, but I think the bigger thing is pass rush. They got to get guys that can get after the quarterback, you know, and that's going to be something you can address in the draft, and thankfully you can address in free agency because they have a ton of money. But they're going to need more guys that can just get after the quarterback and disrupt them. I think when you start there, you're going to give yourself opportunities all the way down into some of the other positions farther back because you're just disrupting the timing for the – like, we know how important pass rush is. So I think that would be – if I had to say, like, where should you allocate the most money if you can maximize that money, I would say it's going to be pass rush.
Nick Ashew, BetQL with us on Grant and Danny's Beltway Blitz. Do you think they'll be back in the NFC Championship game in the next couple of seasons?
Yes. And here's the reason why. One, it's you've got the quarterback set, so that's good. Two, it's that you've got a smart front office that's already shown that they can identify talent, and you've got a coaching staff that then is able to maximize a lot of the skill sets that the guys that they brought in that maybe weren't considered stars or on a one or, you know, short-term deals and prove-it deals. They've shown they can already maximize that. But now with that cap space that I mentioned, and the key here too is that not only do you have tons of money to spend in free agency, you got a quarterback that's on a rookie deal for the next technically 4 years when you likely pick up that fifth-year option if everything continues its way. So they've got an opportunity to really build on this. But here's the one thing. They're now going to play a tougher schedule next year, which we always know is going to be the case. Not a first-place schedule because at least the Eagles won the division. They're not going to be surprising a lot of teams anymore. There's more film on Jaden Daniels. So it's not going to get any easier. They lost their opportunity to just have a fun rebuild year. That's over. The expectations are higher. But because somebody like Jaden Daniels specifically, and that culture trickles down to everybody else, has that confidence and that leadership ability, it spreads to everybody else. It's more than just even that talent. It's also the culture that they've already built there. It's not going to be easy, guys, but like we could be looking at at least the potential where it's Eagles and Commanders dominating the NFC for years to come.
You dominate my dreams when you're not around. Love you, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Nick Ashew of BetQL. No Jaden Daniels. No Terry McLaurin in the Pro Bowl now. We'll explain on G&D. With Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Sean Merriman joins us at 5:30. Former Maryland Terrapin helps us get ready for Super Bowl 59. I was surprised to see, by the way, a response when I had posted the ESPN story, which I found to be just macaroni and cheese. I mean, it was meatballs in a cup for me. I couldn't gobble it up enough. It was Don Van Natta and the ESPN crew talking about Dan Snyder and how sad he is and just
he's just mad. Oh, it's great, isn't it?
And we were literally talking about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Not to pat myself on the back, but I called this one. Said, there's no chance he's happy or watching this team and doing anything other than stewing. He's the worst person imaginable. The amount of people that responded to me and pretended to not care. Why would I read this? I'm over Dan Snyder. That's the past. Those people and I do not see eye to eye on this one because there's not ever going to be a story as long as I live about how angry Dan Snyder is to not be the owner of the team anymore that I'm not going to read.
If you want to charge me money to read it, I'll pay it. You give me that content, I'll give you my attention.
Do you think that the people that said to me, oh, why do we care about this? Focus on the Eagles. We're on to bigger, better things. Who cares? Do you think they read it? I bet you they did.
Maybe they did or didn't. It's odd to me. I find myself all the time just out of lockstep with so many people on a million things, which is probably not a great place to be honest with you, as like the tide of society moves in one way, and I'm over there shaking my fist at the ocean. But that's one of the ones I'll never get. For example, you and I might differ on this. If somebody writes a book tomorrow, and maybe you'd be into it, I have no idea. I'm just saying, you might disagree with me. Somebody writes a book tomorrow and says, I've written a book about what really went on with Shanahan and Robert Griffin. Immediately, pre-order right now. Every ounce that I can get on that subject, I want to revisit it every day and talk about it and think about it and live in it again because of how much I poured into it. Same with the Snyder thing. Not that I'm like positive on Snyder. I hate that guy's guts. But like this it was an energy siphon for me. The amount of time I've dedicated towards it, towards reading every one of these, trying to understand the different lawsuits and the investigations, what went on in the you know, moonshot hope that SOB had to give up the team, and then he did. Like, all that time to me is, I'll never get, like, I can't uninvest. Does that make sense? I can't divest from things in that way. Some people can, and God bless you if you can, but yeah, I don't understand it. It's not my pathology.
When I saw that story came out, I thought, this is fan porn.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a fan of this team that is not going to be desperate to find out about Dan Snyder's unhappiness in this moment. By the way, there were some gems in there, including basically Joe Gibbs being the hero of the organization one last time. You saw where he was involved, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to be one of the people that was at the very end still convincing Dan Snyder, hey, man, you got to go through with this. This is the only way that this gets worse for you, is if you don't go through with this. Because for those of you that didn't read the story, shocker. And I think most of us assumed this because of how long it lingered and took, and there was still all this uncertainty. Like, we're asking people, what yard line is the ball at? And you're getting conflicting reports. Well, it's because Dan was wavering until the last possible second. Like, he did not want to give the keys over to the house for Josh Harris to walk into his new home. The keys to the stadium. I don't know if that's a literal or figurative thing. I don't really think there's like a key that gets turned to go into the A gate or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But like, he refused to basically, they're like, they have an event there, the ownership group, tomorrow, man. Like, they need to be there. You need to give them access.
He was literally throwing a tantrum.
And he was literally saying, well, it'll be trespassing because it's still mine until I say it's not. And they're like, yeah, but this is the time where you say it's not. It's over now. You got to do this, buddy. They're still trying to convince him of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to go back on his word.
And it's one of the big things to me that I remember throughout that whole process where I'm going, no one should be counting on anything. Like, nobody should be celebrating or prematurely raising a fist in pride and joy until he's gone, until he really is gone. Because, again, this is not a rational person. A rational person is able to execute these things. Oh, I've received money. Here's the good I promised you. Here's the thing. Here's the commodity you've paid for. There it is. The irrational, the tyrant, the tyrannical, who can't possibly handle the idea that the seas don't part in his to his every whim, that he feels like it's been ripped away from him and he's been beaten. Because that's what happened to him. He got beat. I don't think he went, oh, no, I should probably do the right thing. He was defeated, and acknowledging that is the hardest thing that little twerp probably has ever had to do, and I love it. I love that it eats at him. I hope it eats at him forever.
It's also just not a coincidence that it took one season. It took 1 year after he got here for him to tear the whole thing down, because people do forget that they were in a pretty good spot when he showed up. I know it had been 8 years since they'd last won a Super Bowl at that time, but they were a well-built team that finished number two in offense,
mm-hmm.
that had a Pro Bowl quarterback that had been acquired via trade in Brad Johnson.
That's right.
Who threw for 4,000 yards, which at that team wasn't nothing. At that time, rather. Two 1,000-yard receivers with Westbrook and Connell. A 1,450-yard running back in Steven Davis.
They had some things going on.
It was a good team. He takes over in the spring of 99 right before training camp, so it's not his team. And that club went out and won and got to the second round of the playoffs and was on the verge of the NFC Championship game. And people forget the history, but it was right after that he trades for Jeff George. Remember this.
Oh, yeah.
Johnson was a Pro Bowler who threw for 4,000 yards, and you trade for one of the bigger named kind of malcontent quarterbacks in the league.
The ultimate me guy.
That's when I think a lot of people knew, this owner doesn't really know what he's doing, because it came out right away that it was his decision. Supposedly, Sonny Jurgensen had told him and counseled him that he needed to go get a stronger-armed quarterback, and Jeff George was the guy. And I think at that time, Dan cared about what Sonny said and maybe George Michael. And
Sonny might have been he reminds me of me with his arm strength.
Okay. One or two other people, maybe. So anyway, so he makes that trade, and then he spent $100 million. We learned the hard way pretty quickly around here. Just going out and adding players is not going to guarantee you anything.
Because, I'm obviously older than you. I was actually, the George part was, I didn't get that. The other stuff.
Oh, people were giddy.
I'm going, oh my God.
I was too.
This is unbelievable.
It's Deion Sanders. Yes. It's Mark Carrier. I mean, these were stars, Pro Bowlers, late in their career.
They had three names to a defense that was a desperate need of help.
Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
So they go spend that money. And then the 2000 season was his first year truly in control. Mm-hmm. He ran the team again in 99, but he didn't build the team until 2000. North Turner didn't last that season. He got fired above 500, mind you, 7-6, just outside in the Hunt graphic for the playoffs with three games to go. And the way the story goes, that a bunch of players told him they wanted Terry Rubisky to get the job, and he said after Rubisky was the interim head coach, that he wasn't going to do that. And so it began kind of a fracturing with some of the players in the locker room. But he went out and he got Marty Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer, supposedly, he had decided by the end of his first training camp he was going to fire. He lasted 1 year. Again, this is the second year of him running this thing.
Yeah.
Schottenheimer's out after an 8-3 finish with Tony Banks at quarterback, a 5-game winning streak in that year. We were relitigating all of this with Ross Tucker at lunch, by the way, in Philly. We're going back through it all. Then he goes and gets Steve Spurrier. He only lasts 2 years. And then it was Joe Gibbs' time, 2.0. We were on, like Donkey Kong.
Oh, but my God, dude.
He was just so bad. So the idea that after one season, Dan Snyder not being around, they already get further than they ever got with him, should surprise nobody. He was a noose around the neck of this thing. He strangled the life out of that building.
You're
every
trying
day.
To run a race that's hard to win. And then it's like, okay, I'm Dan Snyder. I'm your lead underpants.
Yeah, he's a cinder block around your foot.
Yeah, I'm the guy doing I'm the tug of war anchor pulling in the opposite direction as you're trying to sprint. You can move. But you ain't winning. There's no way. You're limited. More playoff wins in a month than he had his entire time here, not counting 99 that he inherited.
Right.
Sorry. It's obvious. Now, just because he's gone doesn't mean you go to the NFC title game. You needed a magic carpet ride to do that. But the point is they won more games than they had in forever. That, you know, it's not a wonder that things were just done professionally.
The whole thing
and right.
felt different.
Well,
players are treated better.
At any point in time.
Staffers are treated better.
At any point in time, Dan could have gone, you know what's unacceptable? This eyesore turf field that's unusable, that's been unusable, that's disgusting and an embarrassment right in the middle of our facility there in Ashburn. Anytime you want to prove that anything matters to you.
I think they went at least 15, maybe closer to 20 years without using that.
This is the point. What should have happened the first day they took over. Wait, what? That's the case? Fix it. What are we about here? We're about winning. It was never. Never was. It had to be. The winning was an ancillary thing with doing it his way. Like, it'd be nice to. I actually think he wanted to win. The same way I would like to lose weight. What are you doing about it, loser? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
He 100% was desperate to win. But he wanted to win his way. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I'm sure along the way at different points, people sat him down and said, hey, here's how you got to do it. He never tried that. I'm going to show you that I can do it my way. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Steve Spurrier as an example. When Spurrier got hired to the NFL, his goal was to win. He wanted to win. But his goal was to show that the same way he did it in college, the run and gun at Florida, the fun and gun, whatever he called it, that was going to work in the NFL. He gave up play calling duties to Hugh Jackson for a game. Steven Davis ran 26 times for over 100 yards, and they won. Right after the game, Spurrier's beside himself. Because he didn't call the plays, he didn't have fun during the game, they ran it more than he wanted to, it didn't look the way he wanted it to. So do you really want to win if you really only want to win your way? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to sacrifice? But that story was just catnip. I mean, that was the absolute best.
I read it so many times, and I kept walking up to my wife, who was very busy. I'm going, look, he wouldn't, he actually never wanted to sell. I said that. Remember that he never actually wanted to, but he was trapped. And then it took Joe Gibbs to talk to him. She's like, leave me alone. Like I can't get enough of it. I might just read it again tonight.
I just can't get over the fans who say they don't care. That, like, oh well, I'm not gonna read that. I mean, maybe it's just because there was a big playoff game that weekend because it came out on the verge of the NFC
Saturday,
title
maybe?
Game.
Yeah.
So maybe they weren't saying like they have no interest in the story ever, as much as like I'm thinking about the title game. But what are you, the quarterback? You don't have time. You got your VR set.
What's the same pathology?
Jaden, like you probably got some time to read a story in the morning and then get ready and put your chips on the counter for the game in the afternoon.
Yeah, but it's just like finger in your ears, you know, sort of like, you know, hold your breath, you turn purple kind of thing. When if someone mentions like, hey, this is what happened under Ron Rivera as a point of reference. Why are you even talking about that? Why they got a game this weekend? Like, okay, man, like multiple plates. I'm walking over here. I got gum in my mouth, and so far nothing bad's happened. We'll be able to get through that. But the other part is about is the of that group that doesn't want anything and doesn't even want it in front of them is the refusal to acknowledge that, yeah, there's a huge chunk of us that like are fascinated by this, that will always care, right? Like you can throw as
ruined,
yeah, throw as many tantrums as you want
of fandom.
Get as pissed off as you want about it, like. The rest of us should still be able to read it and enjoy it and discuss it.
I am way better at moving on and like forgiving and forgetting than you are.
True.
But even I get that there's a little bit of a healing process.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to just pretend like that never happened. This guy took my favorite thing away from me and made it harder for me to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And at times made me hate it for a long, 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 long time. Don't ask me to just pretend like that never happened. Because he's been gone for a couple of months.
Like, if this article comes out when I'm 70, and my kid who's like in his 40s now, like, why do you care? You don't get it, man. Just because of what you just said. What was ripped away, what was precious and perfect and awesome, became poisoned and sullied.
I want to talk about Daniels and McLaurin not playing in the Pro Bowl. We'll do that next. Also, Jaden Daniels, number one in jersey sales. Since when? I'm going to give you those details. We'll discuss what that means for the Commanders brand. We're Grant and Danny. I'm sure you saw, Danny, that both Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin have opted out of the Pro Bowl with, I guess, what is called non-specific injuries. They will not be participating in the Pro Bowl, general wear and tear, banged up. This is a Calhurtian take that I'm not necessarily proud of, and I haven't really given it much thought, so don't hold me to it too much, okay? I kind of love that Jaden Daniels has opted out of the Pro Bowl a little bit.
Walk me through that.
Well, he's a rookie. You would think it would be this unbelievable honor and like, I get to go hang out with a bunch of star football players that I've been watching for years, and I get to go be wined and dined all week and celebrated for my greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm good. That thing's kind of corny. They're playing flag football and like, you know, having weird competitions, and I don't need that. Like, I just think that's almost like it feels like he's above it in a sense a little bit. Like, I get a guy like Terry, as much as I'm sure it was an honor to be named a Pro Bowler. He's done it before. He's been there. I understand if a 10-year veteran says, I'm not going to go participate. A rookie. Like, Drake May got the call yesterday, and he's on an airplane 5 minutes later. Because he's like, you kidding me? I get to go to the Pro Bowl? That's amazing. And Jaden's like,
eh.
I'll just go hang out with my mom some more at my house in Ashburn. You know, like, I kind of love that. I like that he is not like some wide-eyed dude. This, to me, matches his demeanor of like, he's just so chill. I don't need to go to the Pro Bowl.
It's also in Orlando. So I think the Pro Bowl has lost a lot of allure over the years now that it's no longer in like a cool city, like, I don't know, Hawaii or, you know, I think they did it in Las Vegas 2 years ago or whatever, but
yeah,
Orlando, so probably not as much allure to it.
It was Honolulu. I will say, though, in Orlando, it's right at Disney, and they hook the players.
Yeah, I remember Lorenzo Alexander telling us about how it actually loved that idea that you weren't on a, you know, if you're flying from the East Coast,
right,
12 hours of flights to get to Honolulu, you just go to Orlando and your kids can, you know, roam Disney World or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Daniels maybe would want to go to Hawaii and kick it there and stay for a week, or I don't know. You might be right. It's certainly more of a destination. But for a lot of the veterans and a lot of the players, to take your family, as you said, way easier. But also, like, I was in Orlando once when the Pro Bowl was there, unrelated completely. I'm trying to think of why I was even there. I think I was at Disney.
You just love Orlando. You just want to go.
No, because I've told you the story. I was at the outdoor, like, mall, Disney Springs, I think it's called, in Florida. And Alex Smith and his wife and their kids were, like, right next to me with their stroller. And we saw a bunch of NFL players that day. But they hooked these guys with different allotments at the stores. And if you have kids especially, you can go do Disney stuff. So it's not like it's in Hoboken. I mean, with like no all due respect to Hoboken.
Hoboken's a great place to visit.
Right. I'm sure it's amazing. But it's still good vibes. But Jaden Daniels saying, nah, I'm good. Again, it might be that he actually is banged up or that he just doesn't want to continue to put anything on the body. Remember, he played college all the way through the end of the season, won the Heisman. Now you're getting ready for the combine. That's a whirlwind. You haven't stopped. So to get a break is great. But I would wonder how many rookies have ever turned down the Pro Bowl, and especially rookie quarterbacks. I'll bet you it's a small number.
So here's my only response, and it's a question. So sometimes if I'm calling balls and strikes, okay, and I say, well, that's a strike, that means the opposite is a ball. And here's what I mean. If he went, would that bother you?
Not at all, of course.
So the reason for me that I don't have a take one way or the other is that I wouldn't be bothered either way.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to be one or the other. In other words, going is just the normal. Like, yeah, of course he should be excited as a young rookie to go participate in the Pro Bowl like everyone would be.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not be? But when you are above that, seemingly, and you're like, I don't really need to be celebrated anymore right now. I'd like to go hang out with my family, be in anonymity, just go do my own thing at my house. I think that that's cool. It doesn't mean it's uncool to do it the other way. It's just a very rare way to handle it.
I got you. What I don't want is for that to now become the standard, right? I'm not saying you are, but like this new young player that comes in next year, hypothetically, yeah, a rookie makes the Pro Bowl, like, ugh, he wants to go to the Pro Bowl.
I mean, but the Pro Bowl, well, no. No one would ever think that. Again, I don't think going to the Pro Bowl would ever be an issue in any way. I think it's just on brand with his personality. He is a fairly unexcitable guy. I don't think he gets up for the attention, the love, the celebration of himself.
Very mature.
He'll be at the award show to collect the Rookie of the Year award, and he's going to be really understated in his speech, and he's going to shout out the O-line and his teammates.
He's going to thank all his, the coaches, teammates,
he's
parents.
Say all the right things. But I bet you're not seeing him. Like, even if he's on Radio Row, cool. But I don't think he's going to be doing a bunch of stuff to get attention all week. I would guarantee it. I think if he's doing something, it's like, raising money for something or, like L.A. Strong, like he was doing with that jacket.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't seem like a glitz and glamour me guy, which I like. And I think this is on brand to that.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'm not moved either way. Like, if he wanted to go, great. If he didn't want to go, great. Yeah, it's all good.
It's a nothing burger.
Right.
But that was my reaction when I saw that.
I like it.
That's great. A rookie quarterback is like, nah, no thanks.
Just as a quick side note, it's not the point of the discussion, but all-star games in general are struggling.
Well, that's the other thing is the Pro Bowl stinks now.
Yeah.
So you'd be playing in a flag football game. But it's really not about that. It's about the whole experience.
Sure.
You go, you hang out with Malik Nabers or, Jamar Chase and Josh Allen or whoever. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's going and who isn't. But you just spend a bunch of time with the best players in the sport, and it's a fun hang, and you meet a bunch of coaches, and everyone tells you how great you are, and you get a bunch of cool gifts.
Yeah, you get some swag. But the reason I bring it up is because the NBA All-Star Game and the weekend is coming up pretty soon. They can't find anyone for the dunk contest. It's now become, I know people say this all the time, that it's dead. And there's always fun, exciting moments where it's Mac McClung or a couple guys a handful of years ago.
It's kind of dead.
It's now.
Danny will yell that it's back at some point.
Yeah, they can't find anybody to do it. And the game itself is dizzying with what they're actually doing. There's four teams. The third team is some of the winners of the Young Guys Challenge. They're going to play 3 games to 40. Whoever wins then goes and plays a game to 40. Okay. But you just admit that you don't know what you're doing. That this whole thing's broken.
You're trying to fix a thing that you can't be fixed. Daniels, by the way, number one selling jersey since the start of 2025. That's only a month here, but still up like 430%.
Unbelievable.
This quarter.
Yeah.
That's good news for the Commanders brand.
Yeah.
I would say.
If you like the name, congrats.
It's a big development. Sean Merriman's on the show at 5:30 to help us preview Super Bowl 59. What Commanders free agent is it most important that they retain? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.